Cavalcade of Kings. King Stephen. Solemnly tolls the bell in the Abbey Tower as Henry I, a shadowy figure mounted upon a coal black charger, joins the phantom cavalcade of kings. With the passing of this great monarch, passed the peace and prosperity which England had enjoyed under his rule. His death on December 1st, 1135, was followed by an outburst of anarchy, and in the midst of the turmoil, Earl Stephen, his nephew, appeared at the gates of London, where he was welcomed by the people amidst scenes of the wildest enthusiasm. Stephen was born in 1105 and was the son of the conqueror's daughter Adelaide and the Count of Blois. At the moment, the Archbishop of Canterbury, with Roger, Justiciar of England, and Stephen's brother Henry, Bishop of Winchester, are standing at a window in the palace, watching Stephen's triumphant entry into London.
The mob, my Lord Bishop, has many heads but only one brain. And that brain at the moment has but one thought, to do homage to Stephen. Such zeal is like fire and needs watching.
My brother enters London as a conqueror, Your Grace, and yet he is no such but a mere swordsman.
A mere swordsman whose good humor, generosity, and very prodigality have made him a favorite with all, Henry, my son. Look ye how he bandies jests and jovial sallies with the people who run beside his horse.
Oh, England needs a king, not a jester.
Honey catches more flies than vinegar, my son.
I agree, my Lord Bishop. And the people are fools to allow Stephen to sway them with his honeyed words, which will avail him naught when danger becomes his bedfellow.
You think there will be danger then, Henry?
What else if Stephen mounts the throne? Surely you, Roger, as Justiciar of England, can see the peril which lurks around the corner?
All I can see at the moment is a mighty crowd of people shouting itself hoarse with delight at your brother's return from Normandy.
Stephen has chosen a most propitious moment to return to lay claim to the throne. He knows full well that prelate and baron alike are not reconciled to the thought of Matilda being crowned Queen of England.
England cannot be ruled by a woman.
Surely the Justiciar does not seek to repudiate the claim of the daughter of our late monarch after having sworn the oath of allegiance to her.
I do, my Lord Bishop. And there are many such as I, yea. Even Stephen swore to serve the cause of Matilda and to support it with his life, if necessary. And yet, look ye down into the streets, and you will see him riding in triumph at the head of his retainers with all the assurance of a monarch on his way to his coronation.
He has more tricks than a dancing bear, my Lord Bishop. And his acts are those of a traitor.
Meaning, my son?
That my brother, in laying claim to the throne of England, is guilty of the foulest treachery to our uncle, and Matilda, his proclaimed heir and successor. Nothing but evil will come of it, and I fear me that our days of peace and plenty are over.
Such gloomy words, Henry, my son. Such gloomy words.
The people do not share your dark thoughts, Henry. Look ye, Stephen has entered the palace gates. Soon he will stand before us.
Then I beg leave to retire, my Lord Bishop. For I fear me, I cannot bring myself to face my brother with equanimity. I should perforce be impelled to denounce him as a usurper.
Oh, he has gone, and in high dudgeon, too.
Poor Henry. 'Tis a pity he cannot curb his youthful prejudices.
Yea, my Lord Archbishop. Henry has yet to learn that he must kiss the hand he cannot cut off.
And learn to do so quickly, Roger.
Then my Lord Archbishop thinks that Stephen
will be crowned King of England before this month of December 1135 has drawn to an end. Stephen approaches.
My Lord Earl Stephen of Boulogne!
Oh, well done, my fine fellow. By the saints, 'tis good to look upon your fine, fat, red English face again. And here's a crown. Take it, you've earned it.
Thank you, my lord. God bless you, my lord. Thank
you. Not another word. No, don't trouble to escort me. I'll find my way in alone. Greetings, my lord Archbishop, and to you, my lord Justiciar.
You are very welcome, Stephen, my son.
Very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, 'tis good to be in England again. Such a welcome did I receive. A welcome fit for a king.
So we observed, my son. A welcome fit for a king.
And I, for one, must own that you were not lacking in kingly grace, my Lord Stephen.
You think I carried myself well, Roger?
Truly, my lord, 'twas as though a monarch had returned unto his people. Would that it were true.
Well, perhaps with the help of my friends and the blessings of the church, we could make it come true.
I will answer for your friends, my lord.
And the church gives its blessing now, Stephen, my son.
On what of Matilda?
That contingency will be dealt with should it arise. But I do not think it will. For up to the moment, she has made no attempt to claim the throne.
And the barons, my lord Archbishop?
Will not prove difficult. They dare not. For the voice of the people has spoken, loudly, so all might hear. And the voice of the people cries out for Stephen. Go ye therefore, my son, and prepare thyself for thy kingly duties. For ere the month has passed, the crown of England will grace thy brow.
Stephen was crowned King of England on December the 22nd, 1135. But he had few kingly qualities, and soon the realm began to slip from his grasp. Matilda came to England and claimed her father's throne. A long civil war followed, and Stephen's forces were defeated at Lincoln and the king taken prisoner. At the moment, we find Matilda in her tent. The captive Stephen has been brought before her.
Greetings, Stephen, my cousin.
Greetings, Matilda.
You know, Stephen, he that is not lucky should not go fishing.
I'm not in any humor for proverbs, Matilda.
Perhaps you would prefer to sample some of the unique tortures invented for the discomfort of man by your noble barons.
What have done, I tell you? What do you want with me?
Only this, Stephen, that you end this cursed civil war.
Not until I've crushed you and your base-born brother, Robert of Gloucester, as I've crushed the Scots.
You've not crushed the Scots. You have not been strong enough to do aught but compromise with David, their king.
I tell
Wait.
You,
Do not deceive yourself, but face facts as they are.
I have loyal friends.
And many enemies. And now you have, by your stupid quarrel with Roger, the justiciar, arrayed yourself against the whole clergy.
The barons will support my cause.
They also support mine.
The people,
Even they are divided in their loyalty.
But why? Why? Have I not always been their friend?
Too much of a friend, my cousin. Too jovial. Too fond of jesting. Too eager with your honeyed words, when curses would have served you better. And now you reap your harvest, and my poor country lies bleeding.
I see nothing amiss with it.
You willfully blind yourself. But whilst you've been jesting and merrymaking, your barons have built themselves strong castles. They've fortified them and filled them with armed men.
Who will ride forth to do battle for me, the king?
Nay, my cousin. They ride forth as robbers, as wild beasts go forth from their den. They fight amongst themselves with deadly hatred. They spoil the land with fire and rapine. They've plundered, tortured, and starved, and ruined men, women, and children who have crossed their path.
I know aught of this.
And cared less.
I tell you, I know naught of these things.
'Twas your duty as king to know everything, and your confession makes you unworthy to sit upon the throne. The land is the devil's playground, and Christ and his saints are sleeping.
I have done my best.
You've plunged the country into civil war, chaos, pillage, and bloodshed. You've permitted the outrages of the feudal barons to go unpunished. No more ghastly picture of a nation's misery has ever been painted. But 'tis the end of her misery.
What do you mean to do with me?
You shall be taken to Gloucester and there imprisoned for the rest of your life.
And you, Matilda?
I shall submit myself to the clergy and the people as the rightful and legitimate heir to the throne of England.
Matilda was acknowledged queen. But later, the king's party rose, and Stephen regained his liberty. In 1148, Matilda left England. But 4 years later, her son Henry crossed from Normandy to claim the throne. And sometime later, the Treaty of Wallingford was signed by Stephen and the young prince. It is now October 1154, and we find Stephen at Dover. He is dying. And Prince Henry has journeyed from Normandy to see him.
It was kind of you to come to me, Henry.
It was little enough to do, sire.
Sire?
You call me sire?
Are you not still King of England, sire?
In name only. You remember when you came to England to wrest the throne from the usurper, as you called me?
I remember, sire.
Your army was on one side of the river, and mine on the other. And we shouted across the water to each other and made our terms.
And the Treaty of Wallingford was the result of our truce, sire.
Yea, the Treaty of Wallingford, which abolished the evils of the long anarchy and made you my legitimate heir.
I remember, sire.
Would that I had signed such a treaty sooner. Then perhaps England would have been spared the 19 years of misery which she suffered under my rule. Henry, Henry, in the name of God and for the repose of my soul, I charge ye to go forth and right the wrongs of our people, the wrongs for which I alone am responsible.